Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. This is the reading of God's word. He who testifies to these things says, Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. But Father, let us not just hear, just like non-Christian might hear, but that you will grant us an ear to truly hear your voice through your word. And when we hear your word, the powerful word, word that created everything in this universe, will powerfully work in us to make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we pray that by your grace and by the exercising of our faith, that we will hear and benefit rather than just hear and gain nothing. But Father, be with us. Let us be awake and truly hear your word. We pray that your word will be preached correctly, and that it will be understood by your people and believed by your people and obeyed by your people. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me begin by reading Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, which says, For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, meaning the Old Testament people, but the word they heard, those Old Testament people, did not profit them. So they heard the gospel, but did not profit them. Why? Because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So it's not just hearing. You have to hear with faith. That is why you have to depend on the Holy Spirit. You must pray. Even hearing the Word of God is a hard work. It's not just you relaxing and like hearing some music or some whatever that you hear from radio. This is hard work. Otherwise, you benefit nothing. And that will be tragic. So let us truly give our ears to what God has to say. Well, we come to the last two verses in the book of Revelation. We will have one last sermon on the book of Revelation next Lord's Day. And that would conclude our study of the book of Revelation. But don't think that we have exhausted everything that we are to study in the book of Revelation. God's word is infinite. There's no end to what we learn from God. Verse 20, that is our topic today. He who testifies to these things says, Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. This is the conclusion to the book of Revelation. This is the conclusion of the whole Bible. And that is, Jesus is coming again. D. the Messianic King who has perfectly accomplished our salvation, our eternal life, and our eternal home, is coming back. Chapter 1, verse 7a said, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds," meaning that he is coming back in glory. Mark chapter 13, verse 26 says, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." He who has ascended into heaven will come back. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, "And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.'" That's the whole story of the Bible, that Jesus is coming back. And you have to understand your life in terms of preparation for this coming of Jesus. The true understanding of Christian life is just that. It's the preparation of his return. Because no matter what you do and no matter how you do it, if you are not prepared, then it really doesn't mean anything at the end. At the end, you just wasted all your life. We have seen how this is a symbolical number. That number will be reached, and when that last person who has been chosen by God is saved, then he will come. Because this world and the common grace order is only for that purpose, it continues. It continues so that God's plan will come to the completion. When that plan is complete, then there is no more need of this world or the history of this world. It will end and will not be remembered anymore. And when he comes, all will be visibly consummated. All the problems that you could name will be completely and perfectly solved. See, some people, even Christians, live as if you get a little bit more wealthier or healthier, then your problems are solved. You feel like if something in this world becomes a certain way, then you think it will be better. Or if your amount of money that you have in your saving account goes up, then you feel secure. But that's not true. Because this world is under God's curse. It is only when Jesus comes back that is when all our problems are ultimately and eternally solved. That is why we're waiting. We are waiting for His coming. Because when He comes, then everything is truly be okay. Through His first coming, all are already accomplished spiritually, but at His second coming, all will be visibly consummated. So if you have faith, then you understand that all our problems are spiritually already solved, but it is not visible. But you must believe. Because no matter what you face in this world, you know at the end, you're going to be okay. Even if you have to die here in some kind of tragic way, how the world might put tragic. But at the end, you understand and believe, you're going to be perfectly okay. God coming, then, is the answer to everything. So His first coming was answer to everything, but only problem, if you want to call it problem, is that everything that He accomplishes is not visible. But if you believe, then all are truly accomplished. And that's the fact. But we need faith to see this. And when we ever talk about Christian hope, this is what we are talking about. Christian hope is Jesus coming. That is Christian hope. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. I don't know whether you heard that. Let me explain. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. When you truly have the salvation, when you truly hear the gospel, then what does it do? It says it instructs us to deny ungodly and worldly desires, and it instructs us to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And it instructs us looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. It's automatic. When you have faith, what does that do? It will instruct you to look forward to His coming. That's what the gospel will do to you. So that's how we are. We look forward to the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, yes, I am coming quickly. It is a promise of our God. Is it trustworthy? He who testifies to these things is God Himself. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says, in the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. Can we trust God? Well, the author of Hebrews says, we could trust God because of these two unchangeable things. First is that God never changes. Second, it is impossible for God to lie. If God never changes and it is impossible for God to lie, then whatever that He has promised us, you could truly, truly believe and trust. And Jesus says to you, "Yes, I am coming quickly." Or different translation, rather than "yes," "surely I am coming quickly." When our God says "surely," then we have the absolute confidence. Now He says, "I am coming quickly." Now some of you might question that. Is it really quickly? It has already been 2,000 years. How is that quickly? Well, go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 3. I'll stop time to time to explain the verses that I'm reading. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 3. "Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fall asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.'" They will mock us. They will say, what are you talking about? Jesus is coming. And they understand when He comes, the whole world will be destroyed. And they say things like this: "Well, sun comes up every morning and sets every night. It's just same every single day. What are you talking about? What is this thing about Jesus coming back?" Verse 5, "For when they maintain this," when they say this kind of stuff, "it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water." See, they forget the world was not always the same. It was destroyed by the Noah's flood one time, and that was to show us that the end, there is end. It will not just continue forever. Verse 7, "But by His word the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." The sky and the earth that you see even today, it is kept for the judgment day. You know, during the Noah's flood, that was exactly how people of the world responded. Noah said, "Flood is coming. You know, God's judgment is coming." And it was 120 years without any flood. So they were saying to Noah, "What flood are you talking about? You keep saying flood is coming, flood is coming." Mocking Noah. And they just went about whatever they were doing, the sinful life that they were living in this world. But you know, flood actually came. And that day all those people who are mocking Noah drowned. Just like Noah, we say Jesus is coming. And people are laughing at us, mocking us. But you know and I know that day is coming. And when that day comes, let's see how they're going to continue to laugh at us. But, verse 8, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You have to understand, yes, it has been 2,000 years, but for God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. So in God's perspective, it only has been 2 days. So when he says, I'm coming quickly, you have to believe it. And reason that he is taking this time to come is so that all those people that he has chosen before the foundation of the universe, they have to be born and they have to be saved. He will not come before the last person that he has chosen will be saved. So it's not that he is not keeping his promise or that he is actually coming slowly. No, it is exactly according to his plan. And here in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat and the earth and its works will be burned up. Thief doesn't let you know when he's coming. And when thief actually comes to your house, you're not going to say to him, man, you took long time. He will come quickly. But look at what John is saying. He says amen to that. Amen. When God says, I'm coming quickly, John says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Here we see the amazing grace of God. Actually, coming of God is a terrifying thing for sinners. Do you remember when God came to judge the world? What was respond to that coming for sinners? Chapter 6. Let me just read to you. Chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. When the sixth seal was broken, God's judgment comes. Verse 15 says, then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, and they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. It was so terrifying, God coming to judge, so that there were, you know, mountains were crumbling and rocks are falling, and they were actually telling those mountains and rocks to cover them so that they will be hidden from the face of this judge who is coming. It is a terrifying, horrifying thing for a sinner. Coming of God. Chapter 9, verse 6. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. It is so terrifying, they wish they die. But they can't even die. Then, if this is so, then what is the reason that John is able to say, Amen, come Lord Jesus? I mean, John is a sinner. You and I, we are sinners. And for sinners, God's coming is a terrifying experience. And yet here, look at John. John is saying, Yes, Lord, come. What is the reason that John is able to say that? And that reason is what the gospel is all about. It's because of Jesus Christ and what he has done. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 24. Let me read that to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Do you see it? For us, Jesus' second coming is not the judgment day. Why? Why is not the judgment day for us? Because Jesus already received the eternal judgment of God for us in our places when he died on the cross. Thus, for you and for me who believe in Jesus Christ, there is no longer judgment of God because it has already happened in Jesus Christ. So for non-believers, yes, God's coming is a terrifying thing. But for you and for me, it is not the judgment day. It is actually a very joyous day. Because Jesus received that judgment of God in our places, there is no longer judgment for us. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation from God. Because God condemned Jesus in your place. Thus, you and I, we are able to join John in saying, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. It means trustworthy. It means firm, true, and sure. Or so be it. It is so. Amen. And come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. You know, Maranatha. 1 Corinthians 16:22b says, Our Lord come, or just simply some Bible translate that as Maranatha. It's a beautiful word, Maranatha. Our God, come. Do you understand then? How blessed is the man who is able to say without fear, Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ's second coming. It is the most joyous day for us. Now that is why, you know, it didn't, long time ago when I was talking to some Christians, it didn't make any sense to me because they were actually desiring Jesus would not come quickly. And when they read the book of Revelation, they're actually terrified. It didn't bring them joy. Why is that? Because they do not understand the gospel. And when you don't understand the gospel, then you don't understand anything. For you and for me, the day of His coming back, it is the most joyous day, most glorious day. It is the day when our eternal heavenly reality, the reality of our eternal salvation, will be all visible. It is the day when all the glory will be perfectly and visibly given to our God. It is the day when everyone, even the non-Christians, will confess and acknowledge that Jesus' word is true and that He is eternal God. They cannot deny any longer. All those who are laughing at you because of your faith in Jesus Christ, they themselves have to bow down to Jesus and confess that He is God on that day. Isn't that interesting? Everyone will confess Jesus is God. The issue is the time. You confess Him as God right now, then you will go to heaven. But when you confess Him as God then, when He comes back, and you will, then you go to hell. Everyone will confess that He is God. Sooner or later. Yes. I know you do defend your faith to your non-believing friends out there. You tell of the gospel to them. And then they kind of laugh at you. But continue to do that with love. But if they do not accept what you say, they just don't understand what is coming for them. This is why with love we want to, you know, spread the gospel as much as possible. Because we understand what it means not to accept Christ. That day is the most joyous and glorious day for us because it is the day when we will be able to see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Finally, you will be able to see Him face to face. You remember those sinners who said, "Follow me, rocks, so that His face will not see us." But for you and for me, that is the most glorious thing, that finally we're able to see face to face Jesus Christ and us. I mean, think about that day. I don't care how much sufferings you're going through right now, or whatever the situation. As soon as you see Him face to face, you know everything is going to be okay forever. That's the day. And we're longing for that day to come quickly. Why is He coming? Well, to gather us so that we will be with Him forever. He comes to be with us, to be that Emmanuel God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me just read it to you. Just listen then. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. Who died for us, Jesus who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Why did he die for us on the cross? Well, you could say that in many, many ways, but one way is that so that we will live together with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord. That day you will hear the trumpet sound of God. And you will see him descend. And you will meet him in the air. So that we will be with him forever. All of his people will be gathered from the four corners of the world. All of his people will be gathered unto God into our eternal home, heaven. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30b through 31. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. It is the day when all of us will be resurrected with a glorified body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. That day, you and I will be bodily resurrected. We will have the glorious body. No more pain, no more death. It will shine with the glory of God forever and ever. It is the day when the heavenly reward is given to us, and we have already saw that last Lord's Day. And it is the day when we will be like our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be like him. Perfectly like him. No, we're not saying we're going to be God. But in his humanity, we will be like him. Perfect man. That's how we are going to be. And this reality will be all visible that day. Yes, no matter how you think about me now, when you see me that day, on that day when you see me, you're going to say, man. Young, you are perfect. Yes. The glorious day. And not just so much of I'm being perfect, but I'm going to be like Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, when he comes for the second time, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. This is the promise. We will be just like him. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, for by these he has granted us, to us, his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Partakers of the divine nature. You're going to be like God. No, you're not going to be God. But you're going to be like God, that his image will be perfected in you on that glorious day And that will be visible for everyone to see. On that day, we will be able to love one another perfectly. And we will be able to love our God perfectly. From that day on, we will never sin. We never had that experience. No matter how much we try, everything, even those good things we do, is tainted by sin here. But on that day, we will not sin anymore. Man, we want that day to come quickly. All this will be visibly consummated. No more death. No more curse. No more sin. No more Satan. No more pain. No crying, mourning, disappointments, sadness, problems. No more this world. Amen. No more rebelling against God and disobeying God. Our Lord Jesus Christ will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We will not have any other gods before our one and only true God. All this reality will be visibly consummated on that day. We will be with God and we will live with Him forever and ever. Perfect joy and perfect satisfaction. We will be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. When is that day? So many people asked throughout history. But the Bible clearly teaches no one knows. No one knows except the Father. Go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Read it for yourself. Matthew 24, verse 36. Matthew 24, verse 36, But of that day and hour, no one knows, Jesus says, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. Anybody who tells you that person knows the day and year and whatever, he's a liar. Do not follow that kind of person. You know, we have so many of those people who said that Jesus is coming on this year and certain day. They're all liars. Why would, you know, Jesus says he doesn't even know. So what, that person is saying, but God revealed to him? Oh, he's so special that God would reveal to that person even though Jesus doesn't know. Come on, how can you follow these kind of people? And yet some people do. You're going to hear a lot of this 2012. I was going to say something, but I should not say that kind of word during worship. 2012. The end of the world. Yeah, it's just kind of laughable when Christians are... Anyway, come to the Bible and know the truth. And you will be free from this lying and this deceiving. Well then, we don't know what day it will be. It could be today. Oh, that will be, you know, just like as we worship and he just descend, that will be wonderful. You know, this worship just kind of continues in heavenly worship. Oh, man. Anyway, Matthew 25 verse 13 then, if this is so, this day we don't know, but God says, I will come quickly, then what is our life? Well, Matthew 25 verse 13, be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Be on the alert, be awake. And brothers and sisters, this is the Christian life. Life of Christian is a life that is lived in terms of preparing for His return. Is that how you live? Whatever you do in this world, whether you study, make money, all of that, is that in terms of preparing for His return? Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. You must be preparing for His return. And that's what your life is all about. Now, I'm not saying, oh, yeah, He's coming so that I quit my job and I don't even want to study and I just wait. No, no. But that you do all that in terms of what it means on that day. Because if you're not doing whatever that you're doing in terms of the preparation for His return, meaning that you're not doing it for His glory, then you are wasting your life. Because I don't care what you are doing it for, when He returns, all of your accomplishments mean nothing unless it is done for the glory of God. Why would you waste your life like that? Why? Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Verse 32. Describes a Christian life here. Mark chapter 13 verse 32. But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angel in heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. So what? Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of house is coming, whether in the evening at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. You must live your life in this term of preparing yourself for His coming back. Otherwise, He will come suddenly when you're not ready. And that is not the situation you will find yourself, you want to find yourself in. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. You must see Christian life in terms of what we're talking about here. We're waiting for him. We prepare for his return. We do everything in understanding of that he will come back. So many Christians live as if Jesus will never come back. Seriously, they live as if he will never come back. That his coming back has nothing to do with their lives. That's not Christian life. That's the life that the world lives. You know, non-Christians live that life. And you are not to live that way. Yeah. You college people, just imagine when you're partying and drinking and all kinds of sin, and that's when he returns. But it's not just college people. You know, when he comes, how he will find you? See, that's the question. We must live our lives in terms of preparing for his return. We are eagerly waiting for his return, longing for heaven, longing for God. How we witness this reality. How do you live preparing for his return? You know, we need to have a concrete example. And that concrete example, God has already provided for us. How do you live your life in terms of preparing for his return? You live life according to the pattern that God has given to you in the very, very beginning, the Sabbath pattern. 6 days, work, seventh day, rest. That rest pointing to eternal rest. So all 6 days are for that rest. You live 6 days preparing for that rest day. That eternal rest. That pattern is your life pattern. You prepare. You live preparing for that eternal rest. So we must live Monday through Saturday in terms of preparing for the Lord's Day. But you know, so many churchgoers, so many Christians, they live Lord's Day preparing for Monday through Saturday. Oh, Monday I gotta go to work. So on Lord's Day, let me sleep. So Lord's Day becomes preparation for Monday through Saturday. Oh, I have a test. I have this on Monday to Saturday. So you're preparing for Monday to Saturday on this Lord's Day. No, that's not the pattern God gave to us. You live Monday to Saturday preparing for the Lord's Day. If that's how you live, then you are living your life in preparation for his return. That's the same pattern. Because this Lord's Day and the Lord's Day worship points to that heavenly reality. It's Sabbath. It's the resting day. But it's not resting physically. That's not what it means. No, you're resting from the world. You're resting from sin. Meaning that you don't sin anymore and you don't do things in the world like you do in other 6 days. You're resting from the world and sin. Now, living like that will be very, very inconvenient in this world. Yes. But living a Christian life in this world is very inconvenient. Seriously inconvenient. But they say, oh, you know, I need some sleep. You know, Monday through Saturday, you know, I work hard, so I need some sleep. And I say to them, well, sleep Tuesday night. Sleep Thursday. Why it has to be Lord's Day? Oh, but Tuesday I have to watch some, you know, the Korean 연속구. I have time for that on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying this to you so that your life will be miserable. But I'm saying it because if you do this, it will benefit you. Of course, not in the worldly way, but spiritual way. Spiritual benefits. And isn't that what we truly want? As we worship and keep this day holy, we are living out that heavenly reality. Because that is how we're going to live in heaven. Holy life. Away from the worldly affairs. And we'll be living in terms of worshiping God. That's what the Lord's Day is all about. And that is what this worship is all about. And you live your life preparing for this holy day and this worship. When you do that, you are living your life preparing for His return. Because when He returns, this is exactly what will happen. We will be gathered unto Him. We will be worshiping Him. Just like what we do right now. And this holy day, we try, do our best to rest from the world, rest from sin. Because that is how heaven is going to be. Complete rest from sin and this world. No more this world. Hallelujah. And this on this glorious holy day, you have to witness that to the whole world. You live as if this world doesn't exist for you. Because that is true. Because you belong to heaven. With heavenly pride, show them you don't need this world. Especially on this Lord's Day, you show them you don't need this world. But I've been preaching like this for last more than 20 years or so, but just people just don't listen. And they are missing out. But go to 1 Thessalonians. We're running out of time. Well, we actually ran out of time already. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But I need to teach you this fact. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. It says what? Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of everything to be written to you. For you yourself know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they're saying peace and safety. Wow. Today is having a hard day. But, you know, I really like, even when they make noises and all that, I would rather have them in the worship because they, you know, never, whether she understands or not, she's coming to Lord. And in the Old Testament time, when the people, you know, they come to God in family. Not just adults came to God, but they brought their children. And it has that meaning. Anyway, chapter 5, verse 3, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like neighbor labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. So yes, God will come like a thief, but for you, He will not come like a thief. Why? Because you prepare for His return. It clearly says, for you, He will not come like a thief. I mean, if you're waiting for somebody and He comes, how can He come like a thief if you're waiting for Him? John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you understand that even Jesus Christ, He is preparing for that day? That's what He's doing. Just like us, we are preparing for that day. And when His preparation is done, He will come. And when He says, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, we all say, Amen, come Lord, come. Maranatha. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love toward us. We thank you for giving us your word so that we may know that what is happening and what will happen. Oh Father, we thank you that your Son is coming back. And when He comes back, everything that we pray for and everything that we wish and desire will come true in Jesus Christ. But Father, let us remember that they are already have come true spiritually in Christ when He came for the first time. But all that will be visible at His second coming. Oh Father, we join John in his prayer to you. God, our Lord, Jesus Christ, come. Come quickly. Come, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.